Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this evening. We thank you that we can gather and study here. It's just mind-boggling and amazing. You loved us so much that this long ago, the extent that you would go to make sure that the bloodline remained pure. We just pray that we would have open minds and hearts, that we would see what you want us to see, and just watch over and keep us. We thank you and love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I mean, when I was studying, getting rid of that, I mean, I told my, this chapter is just about a bunch of liars and deceivers and all kind of, I mean, really, that's when you go through that every step of the way, this one does this, and it's all that, the same thing. I mean, the chapter starts out with a parable here about the mentality that if they can eliminate the hair or who the hair that's going to gain something, the notes that's left will just recoup, you know, they'll get the inheritance. They'll get what it is. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. It's the story of where they planted the vineyard and then they left and basically leased it out to some other people. And then when it came time for the crops, he sent some people to get the fruits of their labor, basically, is what it was. And they saw him coming that at one deal in here that I circled and I noticed, and y'all can see what you think. It says, and the husbandman took his servants and beat one and killed one and stoned another. And I just circled that because that's three different deals. I just thought that three was kind of different. You know, we always talk about numbers and what that represents. Then, of course, he sent more. They did the same thing to them. So that's when he sent his son, who... It's a picture, I think, of Christ coming. And they said, well, if we kill him, we'll get the whole, we'll get everything. We'll get it all. So we'll just get rid of him. We'll move right up. So, you know, that's what they did. And so then they said, well, what's going to happen when the master comes back? You know, and it says he will miserably destroy those wicked men. And then he'll give the vineyards to other husband, you know, people to take care of stuff, and then says he'll render him fruits in their seasons. I circled that seasons, and I think that's long term. That's for year after year after year. I thought that was a picture of, in my mind, that was a picture of the Jews and the Gentiles, mm-hmm. where the Jews refused and turned him down, and we got away. We got in.
Yay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's right. That's right.
Do you think that when they said they killed some and I always thought that might be a picture of the prophets that he sent to.
Yeah.
I mean, possibly.
Yeah.
That, you know,
yeah.
Remember they sawed Isaiah in two and they killed.
Yeah.
Really, most of them met a really horrible death.
Yeah.
And he sent the prophets to tell about Jesus coming, but also that they killed all them too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they...
It's awful.
Yeah. They obviously had just that... We got it. We're going to keep it, and regardless of who gave it to. I mean, you know. So,
yeah.
It touches just a little bit. That I think we touched in one of the chapters before that. They thought about season and inheritance, but then that's when God makes a statement that Abraham is where the lineage is going to come from, mm-hmm. and he basically just boils it down to gives Satan one target. One place that he can go after. You know, he doesn't spread it out or anything. You know, we talked about that the Tower of Babel, you know, he divided them up 70 different directions, and they said, I'm going to use Abraham one. That's what 70-1 odds. I thought that'd be just, you know, God likes those big odds. So that just falls right to where he wants to be. So you know, that I mean, it made me think a little bit, too, of Job.
Yeah.
You know, the same scenario, you know, where,
absolutely.
You know, when God said, you know, do you know my man Job? You know, mm-hmm. I'd be like, don't make me. Yeah. So, but yeah. Then it comes into a little bit about, talks about Isaac. And, you know, it says, Isaac continued the messianic lineage and was blessed by God. It says he was a faithful believer like his father Abraham. And I just made a note out to the side that's not the only thing that he's going to be like his father Abraham. Mm-hmm. When we go further down in some of the stories, I mean, a lot of these we see, it doesn't seem like the apple falls too far from the tree. One of the things that are going on. He talks about with Rebekah, he says, after Isaac prayed to the Lord for his wife, Rebekah, to conceive, then that's when she got pregnant. But he prayed first. And I think a lot of times we've seen through the studies that we've done that, you know, if they pray first, things seem to go better than if they go out on their own and do things. And then it's like doing something and wanting God to bless it instead of seeing what he wants you to do and knowing that he's going to be blessed in that direction that you go. In Genesis 25, there says, God tells her, that two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people. And it says, one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. So he tells Rebekah right then, really, who's going to be the one that's going to follow in line when they're born. And the two manner of people, I mean, I thought there's always two different manner of people if there's a battle. I mean, every battle is two different manners of people. So that's really what was being set up, what he was telling her was going to happen. It goes on, it talks about, we get back Canaan, which goes back to Ham. We've already talked about that. But Esau, the oldest, also was cursed. It says, after God's pronouncement, it should have been evident to Isaac that Esau was going to be the source of trouble because of the prophecy that he had already given Rebekah, because Esau was the oldest, and it said that the oldest would serve the youngest, so they knew the youngest was going to be there. But Isaac still, and I think because he was the oldest, in my mind, still favored Esau over Jacob. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's the thing of being the oldest son.
It's supposed to get the blessing.
Yeah, it's supposed to be. And I think, I mean, I jotted down that he knew better. Mm-hmm. But he was the oldest, so that was going to be.
Rebekah knew.
Yes, she knew who it was going to be. Yep.
Well, God had told her.
Yes.
He said there's two and they're totally different.
Yep. Yep, and said the oldest is going to serve the youngest.
Yeah,
so
she knew that. Well, see, really, then her husband knew it too.
Do what?
Her husband.
Yes.
Knew it too.
Yeah.
He just didn't want it to be that.
No,
way.
I don't. That's not how he wanted it to be.
No.
So no, nope. Then it mentions about how, you know, Esau gave up his birthright. You know, he was hungry, gave it up for a, you know, and it. You know, it says Esau's casual attitude towards the fate of humanity and the salvation of his home really revealed his true character. And I think, it compares somewhat like Esau to Cain. Mm-hmm. In that Cain and Abel, you have Esau and Jacob. Both, you had Esau and Cain, both were outdoors. You know, I mean, that's why I looked at it. They were outdoors more, and then if you had, you know, Jacob, he's probably more of a mama's boy. I mean, I guess probably stayed closer in. You know, wasn't rugged, wasn't, you know, like that was. So, just a different. And once there was a flaw, I mean, I think that just opens the door. If Satan finds one thing, then that just opens the door for him to come in. So then we get into another. This next gets into another fine trait where Isaac just falls right into the same shoes of Abraham. He tells her, you're good looking. Tell him you're my sister so they don't kill me.
They have been second cousins.
Yes, because he went.
Because his mother's brother, or would they be first cousins? Was she the daughter of Laban? And
Laban Rebekah was, but that's where they sent Jacob.
Oh, yeah.
Was back to
were
there.
Were they second cousins then? I know they're related.
They all are. I mean, they keep going back to the same pool in order to keep the bloodline pure.
They have to keep the bloodline pure. I think they're at least cousins of some kind.
Yeah. Yeah.
Aren't they?
Yeah.
I think first cousins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and Abraham and Sarah were half-brother and half-sister.
Yeah.
They shared a father but not a mother.
Yeah. Yeah.
But nowadays we go.
Yeah. 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 I mean, he does just like Abraham, though. I mean, you know, he takes his family to the kingdom of Abimelech, you know, the Philistine, you know, for provision. I mean, and
down to Egypt too, twice.
Yeah, and
Ponder off as his sister.
You know, again, they take her, you know, and then I think, you know, in this passage here, it says, you know, that the Abimelech, the king of Philistine, he was looking out the window, and saw Isaac was sporting with Rebecca. Now, my Bible don't say it's sporting. I mean, I think they were being intimate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and he saw him, and he figures out.
That's not your sister.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So then, it's just a parallel of Abraham's story with Sarah. And now you got Isaac doing the exact same thing. Because he told him, he said, why'd you say that? And he said, you know, because, you know, he said, lest I die for her. And it wasn't, I put he's cowardly over that because of getting killed for, it's not about protect. Now he's not going to die to protect her. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to get killed
because someone else
wants her. Yeah. He wasn't going to stand up for her. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cowardice.
Yeah.
I mean, the root of it is cowardice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Both of them, Abraham and
the exact. Yeah. I mean, the same pattern, the same thing. I mean, and I put, you know, I think Isaac got protection because of Rebecca. It wasn't because of him. The same way with Abraham got protection. It was because of Sarah. It wasn't because of him. I mean, they both those kings were good to them
afterwards.
At that time because of the, yeah. And then afterwards came to him. In this story, they came to, you know, they came and he brought the head of his army. Everything is said, obviously, you know, you're a man of God. You're doing real well. You know, we'd like to make a treaty with you where you don't do nothing to us. Everything's good, and you can live, do whatever you want to.
You're a cheater and a liar. But
yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's what I put, you know, God protect Isaac even after he lied.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just to protect, really it was to protect the bloodline. Mm-hmm. It's all about the bloodline. I mean, it just goes back.
Seymour.
I mean, every time it goes back to that, and that's what I, and all the way through here, I kept thinking, well, I guess the ends justifies the means. I don't know. I mean, it's all the same thing of where they go.
Every story.
Yes. Yeah.
I'll tell you, once you understand that seed war and that bloodline, you look at every story different. I do. These are not just gentle stories about people's lives. And it used to seem that way when you'd read it. There's an explicit war going on here with each of these tales. I never understood that before.
Well, and it also shows too, and we brought that up before one time, the just how human they were, just like how human we are, and even the mistakes that we make and that they made.
Yeah. Still
that if God has a plan that's supposed to be there and that's going to get done, I mean, he's going to do, I mean, it may be the roundabout way to get it, but he is going to do what he needs to do for his plan to be done.
Yes, absolutely.
And that, I mean, this was a little more out there maybe than some simple things that we might, you know, situation we might come up to here, but at the same time, the picture was Christ, and that's what he was always shooting for, was to get from Genesis 1:1 to get us to Jesus in the New Testament, to get him to the cross. So whatever it took for that to happen, that we would have a Savior and be saved, God was going to do it.
Through a perfect bloodline.
Yeah. And too, and it just proves. I mean, if you think about it too, I mean, I was thinking about it the other day. I mean, you ought to feel, you know, pretty good, because obviously all the way through here, he didn't pick no really good people.
No.
I mean, to do what he had to get done. I mean, God, you know, there was questionable past and questionable everybody he chose to get, you know, to accomplish his purpose.
It was genetics.
Yeah.
Chosen because of genetics.
Yeah. To get there.
Well, those that look to the world like someone he should have picked are the ones he spoke against.
Right.
The ones that he...
And the ones that the world thought he should pick was why his chosen people didn't want him when he came.
That's right. Because he didn't look like they thought he should look.
No.
Or act like they thought he should.
Uh-uh.
He wasn't rich enough or pretty enough for them.
Yeah.
And yet he owned the whole
world. Yeah. Yeah.
They thought he was coming as a warrior king next time. And they won't like it. The next part talks about Isaac and how he blessed is, I mean, it says then Isaac sowed in that land and received
in the same year, 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him.
Wow.
So that's what, and I don't know what he sowed. I mean, back then, I think a lot of them would have been vineyards, but a vineyard wouldn't have produced like that unless, except for God, in a single year. It'd have to be some kind of crop that produced, but I mean, 100-fold.
Wow.
I mean, you know, just, you know, obvious to everybody just how blessed he was, that God was with him.
And he might have had sheep. They may have produced and had doubles and triples.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Abraham and him were both very wealthy.
They were.
Yeah.
Very prosperous.
Yeah. Well, and you know, men, Jews in general, when you think they are very prosperous.
And still are today.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
That's why people are jealous of them.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it goes on too, where, you know, God still reminds him that he honors things because of that he made with Abraham, because the covenant he made with Abraham says, you know, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake, because I made that promise with him. And then again, it says he built an altar. He called upon the name of the Lord, pitched his tent there. And I put, he took up residency, pitched his tent. And then, you know, his servants dug a well. The next part kind of goes into what we talked about, where the Abimelech, you know, those guys, they came to him and made the same deal with him, just like they had done with Abraham, that king had with Abraham. I mean, it's just, I mean, parallel, and just exactly like it. Now, here on the last part of that scripture there, it says, thou art now the blessed of the Lord. And so I wondered then if he kind of took up where Abraham was. If it had been Abraham, now it's Isaac.
Yeah.
Now he stepped into that position.
Yeah.
You know, they just don't learn.
No.
I mean, from way back to present.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
do you suppose you say it worked for Dad?
Yeah, right. I don't know. I don't know. It didn't get written up well, did it?
No.
But I gotta tell you, that's me. I can make a mistake, and several years later, I can do the same thing again. And hopefully, I've learned, but not always. Maybe you guys don't have that problem.
No.
Falling back into
the same trap. I think if God thumped you, you'd remember, Linda.
I really do. I do remember.
Yes.
But that doesn't.
And I don't think you'd do it again.
Well, I think a lot of this shows that he is a God of second chances.
He is. Yeah.
You know, we make mistakes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And third chances.
Yeah.
And fourth.
Yeah. No, yeah.
There's lots of that in Jacob.
Yeah.
Well, Abraham even, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Abraham finally got it.
Yep, he did.
But it took 100 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm a slow learner.
No.
I don't think you're as slow as you
think. No. The one line says, any human who puts his or her trust, faith and trust in the seed of the woman. I mean, and that goes back to the very first Genesis. Yep, that's the 3:15.
That's a promise.
Yep. See, you know, had God's supernatural power manifesting in his or her life. And it says, even among the Philistines. And I just jotted down that God is with those who believe, even in enemy country.
Well, that's just
like today. Even in enemy country, he's with those who believe. So.
Even if the enemy country is your own country.
That's right. Yeah. 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 It talks a little bit more then about Esau, and kind of it lines him up with Cain in this next part. And some of that. I mean, it.
Tell me what your feeling is about him marrying those two Hittite
men. Well, I think he did it out of spite. I think since he gave up his birth, I think he was doing everything he possibly could to get back
at his parents.
That's right. I think so. I mean, the fact that the idea maybe that he was trying to pollute the blood and all that stuff. In my mind, I don't know that even entered. I think, you know, that he was at that point. Yeah. And, you know, jealous. And they chose him and, you know, they shunned me and I don't care. I'm going to show, their Bible believe, you know, their faith believing people. I'm going to go against everything they say. I'm going to go against everything they say. And I think too, since he had already opened that door, that Satan just fed that.
Absolutely.
More and more. Mm-hmm. You know, and it said, you know, when he married them, you know, it says it grieved the mind of Isaac and Rebekah, and I think he loved that.
Yeah.
I think he loved it, that it was a torment to his parents, that he was not what they had wanted him to be.
Yeah.
I mean, even his, you know, even though he knew that he was Isaac's favorite, I think he knew that. And then when it didn't happen, and when really...
He caused it.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, and I think then that was just, you know, that's
it.
I'm moving on.
Yeah.
He breaks away from the family at that point. You know, it mentioned there, you know, Abraham had done all that, you know, where he sent him back to his, you know, his own family for Isaac, you know, to get a wife, to try to make sure that bloodline, because he understood that bloodline was pure, and then when Esau, he just did that. Mm-hmm. I think it was all out of just because he was mad, you know. Fed up with him.
Was he controlled by Satan at that point too?
It could be. Yeah, I mean,
had he pretty much just sold when he sold his birthright? Did he pretty much sell his soul?
I think, well, and you know, I mean, really, I mean, it says he was hungry and he sold it for a bowl of soup or something like that. Now, you might be pretty hungry, but if you know that you're going to, why would you make a deal like that unless you're just so nonchalant? And it said, unless you're just so nonchalant about it that it means so little to you that you would throw it away for that, you know. Because it, just like before, I mean, they knew the law that was put into place, you know, it goes on further when, you know, Esau, you know, they thought he was going to kill Jacob, you know, and that's when Rebekah said, I don't want to lose them both in the same time, because if he kills Jacob, then that just opens, that's open for anybody can kill Esau then because of the law that came on after the flood. God put in, you know, blood for blood, you know, you can't do that. So, I just think that he had had enough and he didn't care anymore, really. I mean, he was going, you know, off on his own. I mean, where they were, I mean, he could have, he got a little, you know, ham in him. I mean, you know, Canaan, Nimrod, all that bloodline, all of those thoughts is really what he came back into. Yeah, turned out to be, yeah. Yeah. So.
Well, you wonder if that's why.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the same rebellion. Rebellious. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, kind of a black heart.
Kind of is.
To begin with, you know.
Yeah. Boy, you can sure see the two lines, can't you?
Yeah.
Coming down.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, the next part gets into where Rebecca, I mean, even she deceives Isaac to protect the seed. That the one part there where it talks about, you know, where Isaac preferred Esau over Jacob, it said he let his own thinking get in the way of the Lord's plan. And I just jotted out to the side, don't we all?
And that's the truth.
You know.
Well, again, you see Sarah and Abraham.
Yeah, God ahead of God.
Yeah. I mean, they
wasn't happening fast enough.
But thought they could take things into their own hands.
Improve on God's plan.
Yeah. And again, it said, where Esau was Isaac's favorite, but like Rebecca is the one that the Lord gave that prophecy to, so she knew who it was. So, I mean, really, she was as deceitful as the rest of them was. I mean, when she, you know, helped make sure that Jacob is the one that received the blessing from Isaac. He was her favorite. Jacob was her favorite, but in Scripture, God had already said he's going to be it. So, but it's still, it mentions that says although Rebekah and Isaac's scheme was deceitful, it served ultimately fulfill God's plan. So, whatever went, I guess. We get a little bit further. It talks about how, you know, it says Esau hated Jacob. And that, I think that just, that's a, you know, pretty much covers
what he came. Well, and the devil
what he came. Oh, I think so.
Fed him over and over.
I think so.
Whispered to him.
Yeah. Yeah. You gave it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. It should have been yours.
It should have been yours. And he's a cheater. And your parents are unfair.
Yeah. Jay.
And he whispered to him all the time.
Oh, I think
and
so.
And they were surrounded by Hittite women who were pagans.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that's where.
Worship gods.
Yep. Yeah. So it just, once the snowball starts, it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Yeah.
Well, you see that spirit of deceitment starting in the Garden of Eden.
That's exactly right.
Exactly right.
Yeah, Mom, you're right.
That's where the seed was
talking about.
Yeah.
That spirit of deceitment is there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love what he says when he says, the devil often repeats. And we say that here. The devil doesn't have anything new.
Yeah.
It's the same story.
Yeah.
We played over and over, and we fall for it.
Yeah. Didn't he mention, where he said that, in the back of Rebecca's, she was probably thinking about Cain and Abel.
Yeah.
Because they would have known those stories
of
that. So she was probably thinking this is exactly the same setup.
Jealousy.
Yeah. Of what happened then. And then, of course, then that's when she sends, sends him away, Jacob away. Mm-hmm. To go to Ken,
Laban.
But they make sure though, Isaac, that's one of the things Isaac tells him, you cannot, it's kind of a command, you cannot marry a Canaanite. You cannot do that. I'll give you the blessing, you have the blessing, he finally come around, you have the blessing, but you cannot, you got to go there. Because I think they were worried that he was going to fall into that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they're surrounded by him.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean that. Yeah,
aren't they in Philistine country?
Yep, that's where they went to. Of course, Abraham lived with them.
As Nephilim.
Yep. Let's see. Yeah, this one in the next in Genesis 28 is where he tells that thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Yep, that's where he sent him to Laban, which would have been his uncle. Rebecca's brother.
So he would have married his first cousin.
So he would have married
one of the daughters,
yeah. And
which we today go ooh, but
yeah,
we're not protecting the bloodline. Jesus has already come.
Yeah. Just talks a little bit about where God confirmed the messianic blessing would pass to Jacob.
Yeah.
And by going, you know, it was protected by sending him to the family. That one part there, you mothers would understand this, says, although this would be the last time Jacob would ever see his mother, Rebekah's desire to spend time with her son paled in comparison to her duty to carry out God's will.
Yeah.
So she was willing to give him up, the fact that she knew she probably would never, when he went.
To protect the blind.
Yeah. She would never, you know, never see him again. And it mentions in there, too, that twice he was told, do not marry a Canaan woman. So we always talk about, Lynn always talked about one time, if it's mentioned twice, take alert, pay attention to what, you know, what is said. It talks about, he called here, and that, we always talked about where those guys were called righteous, even when we didn't think about some of the things they did. And it talks about, it mentions that righteous parents, both those were righteous parents, even after all the deceitfulness and stuff that they were did, that even after deception in God's eyes, they were still righteous.
So was it deceitful on Rachel's part if God was using her to keep the bloodline pure?
No.
It really wasn't, was it?
No, because her husband was not looking at it correctly.
No.
Her husband knew the prophecy too.
Yes.
Right. But the deceitful part, though, didn't she put where Esau had a lot of hand. She put that his coat on Jacob, and Isaac couldn't see very good.
Right.
And so when he felt Jacob,
she knew Isaac was wrong, though, because God had told her in Utero
right.
the truth, and she knew that. So did he.
Yeah, he did, but he didn't.
But he didn't want it.
He didn't want it to be that way.
So
no,
he had to do that to protect the bloodline. I look at her differently now.
Yes.
I used to think she was. Yes. Now I
don't anymore.
I believe she was an instrument of God to protect that seed line.
Because if she hadn't have done that,
it would have gone to Esau. And
did God have a backup plan? I mean, if she hadn't have done it, there would have had to be another plan to protect the bloodline, right?
Right.
And it never talks about
no,
that.
No, I think she
was used by God.
I think she was used by God because her husband was wrong in that.
Mm-hmm.
He knew what was supposed to be right, but he didn't want to do
right.
it.
Right.
But again, like we said, that's not the first example of that.
Yeah, right.
When the husband knew what was right.
Like Abraham and Sarah's sister.
Maybe that's an example of flesh again.
It
flesh
is.
Versus,
well, it's,
you know,
we all make mistakes.
Yeah.
We're all flawed.
Oh, yeah.
We're all flawed. But I look at this, now that I look at with everything about the seed war, I look at her differently.
Because what if she hadn't been there?
I don't know.
It wouldn't have been good.
No, it wouldn't have been good.
Well,
I think
like Abraham, and where
well, God
did
would
Ishmael,
had to protect.
So, you know, I mean, he, you know.
Yeah.
You have an Ishmael.
Had to wait, I mean.
That we still have.
Came and, yeah.
Whatever. Ishmael's still a problem. I mean, the seed of Ishmael's still a problem.
Saudi Arabia. Yep.
No, I think she was an instrument of God to get the seed line right. I do think so, don't you?
I do too.
And I never thought about that till we get a perspective what these stories are really telling us.
Because it seems like the whole story seems like such a hodgepodge of stuff.
Yeah, but it's for a purpose.
Yes, it is. When you really dig into it.
Mm-hmm. The seed war is big.
Yep.
Well, it's through the whole Bible.
It talks a little bit about then where, I mean, Jacob goes to sleep. and he has that dream.
Yeah.
Yeah. I found it interesting. He laid the used the stone for a pillow.
Ouch.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
You want to talk a little bit about portals?
Portals.
Mm-hmm. You see, this is a portal.
Mm-hmm. The dream.
Yeah, the stairway.
Yes, yeah, the stairway going up and down. Yeah.
I think so too.
Yeah.
It didn't name it that, but I think that's no. What it is. Don't you?
Yeah. No. I mean, a simple analogy that they used that I thought was good was that it's the representation of when we get of Christ between
dimension.
Heaven and earth, of being our way between.
Yeah, between.
Yeah.
Which we could call a portal.
Yeah. 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 I mean, it says there, well, it goes to John. It says, hereafter you shall see heaven open, the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. So, you know, that's a reference back to, I think that's a reference back to Jacob's dream.
I think so, too.
Yeah, what he's talking about.
So I taught this class one time, and it was this story. And a girl raised her hand. She says, so explain to me why, if this is the God of the universe, which I believe the angel was Jesus, it took him all night to control a human being. I said, I got it wrong. It didn't take him all night. It took the man all night to figure out. Jesus gave him all night long to get it right. Because after wrestling for the whole night, Jesus could have zapped him and killed him and been gone. I said, it took Jacob all night. And what you find out is, in that wrestling, he became Israel. But it took all night. It didn't take Jesus all night, it took him all night. And we don't understand that story very well until you kind of put it in that perspective. Do you see it that way, too? Yeah. It wouldn't have taken Jesus 1 second.
Yeah. Not even a second.
Not even a second. Not even a thought.
The blink of an eye.
Yeah.
What a twinkle.
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 Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But for him to become Israel, which is God's people, he had to get a lot of things straightened out.
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah.
He was kind of a deceiver.
Yeah, and I heard someone say, too, that was an example of persevering through a trial.
Yeah, it is.
That he persevered, he continued to...
Till he got it figured out.
To, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting story.
Yeah. It mentions about where Jacob went to Laban, fell in love with Rachel, then he worked for 7 years, but then he got the other one. So he had to work seven more to get the one he was really after. And then I thought it was interesting it said, it says, between his two wives and two handmaidens, he fathered 11 children. So he took handmaidens, too, besides the wives that he had.
It's crazy, that system they
had.
But that was the legal system.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't God's system.
Yeah, but God sent his 12 tribes of Israel through those four women.
I think it was up to that time, too, because in Leviticus is when God said no more, so he could have said that.
This is Genesis.
Back in the... Yeah.
I think it doesn't work out well for mankind, so God says we're done
for whatever reason that, you know, he... And like... And when you think about the... if Jacob was involved in deceitment, were they... like we was talking about earlier, then he was deceived with the women. I mean, what goes around comes around.
Yeah. It kind of does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's kind of what I thought about when I... Yeah.
Yeah.
So is this to populate the earth? Is that why? Because more male babies die than female babies.
It's about the bloodline, and I the nearest I, and maybe Travis knows more about this than I do, but it seems to me like he wanted a genetically, of course we know he wants genetically pure, but he also wants some diversity in this bloodline that's going to come down through the 12 tribes. You're going to get every color, every ethnicity. Now, I'm not talking DNA mixing. These are pure humans.
Right.
But I think part of it is genetics. To get for the family of God, he wants it all. Wants everything.
See, and who knows what those handmaidens were.
Well, see, it does not say where those handmaidens come from. So my mind goes somewhere else to think where they came from until I get later.
But they're genetically pure. You know they are.
Because of later, right? If you read it at this point, you don't know that.
But I mean, we know.
But
the
when we get later in the story, as we follow the bloodline down, as we get to, you get to Reuben, then you get to Joseph, then you get to Judah. When I read Judah, it says that those brothers of Joseph's came from Bela and the other one. Those are the two handmaidens, I think. So those were Joseph's, if I understand it, half brothers. They were going to throw him in the pit.
Yeah.
Well, then you come to Judah. My first thought was, well, then they would have been tainted. But it can't be if Judah is the one that comes back, because he's the messianic bloodline. He's the one it comes from.
Right.
So then they can't be. But if you just read that right there, the first thing I'm thinking, well, he's got Leah and Rachel. Mm-hmm. And then he's got these other two. Well, it doesn't say anything about where those other two came from.
But process of elimination.
Yeah.
You know they do.
Yeah.
You know,
yes. Later in the story, you can backtrack and figure that out. Mm-hmm. But at the time, I'm thinking, well, he's got some pure and some not, for lack of a better way to say it.
Right.
So, but then
I think he's wanting I think he's wanting a mix of all the races of humans, pure humans, that they can be part of his family. God always wanted a family. As you get that picture, and he's got an angelic family, and he loves them to pieces, but he wanted a human family too. Still does.
Yeah.
It's making this human family genetically pure.
Right. Right.
It's my guess. What do you think about that?
I think that's right. I mean, they lived there. And at first I thought, well, them two hands, maidens, they had. I'm not sure about where they came from. And so then, but then when you read on down and we get to that, and you figure out where they, then they have to, it cannot be, or the bloodline could not come through him.
No, they have to be pure. Pure human. But they might,
or at least the one Judah came from had
to be. Right, but they may be a different color. I mean, that may have been part of it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, as far as color, I mean, if you're just talking like that, Trav, we had mare, stud, the same combination, had like 6 or 7 colts, and not a one of them.
Looked alike.
Not a one of them. I mean, from a all black to a sorrow to a, I mean, not a one of them looked alike.
Yeah.
And I like to say same.
And they would be the same bloodline. Same bloodline. Yeah. So that goes to show that's probably what God was doing there. It's because he wants his human family, and he made us diversified for a reason. He likes that. I mean, he made life.
Well, if they're going to continue, just like they were all sent back to the core family,
right,
to find a mate. If you don't start diversifying somehow, what I mean?
Yeah, it gets weak.
Yeah.
Very fast.
I mean, so, where they, he always sent, Abraham did, and Isaac, you go back to your uncle, back to your mother's brother, to make sure that you don't get tainted blood, tainted blood. So there's going to have to be a difference somehow when.
And I think that's some that you're seeing here with the four women to get the 12 tribes. I think you're seeing some human diversity played into the genetics. That was always my guess on that.
Yeah, because one of them says, you get Dan and Naphtali, whatever, or that came from one of the ladies. Yeah. So, But yeah, anyway.
He shuts that down, though, of Deuteronomy, Numbers, that man are marrying thing. I mean, they have it for, he shuts that down. At that point, we got enough human beings, I guess. It doesn't work too well.
For whatever reason, yeah, he did.
It touches here then a little bit, too, about Dinah, daughter of Leah.
That was an interesting story.
What happened to her.
That's crazy.
And, you know, the sons weren't near as tolerant as Jacob seemed to be.
Well, they were.
You know what I mean?
They were brutal.
Yeah, what they were going to do, you know, so.
I mean, they took out that whole tribe.
Yeah. I mean, they told him, you know, we'll let you marry her and we'll all get along, everything, but you got to be circumcised. Mm-hmm. So when that happened, at a weakened state, then that's when they came in and killed them all. Mm. I mean, you know, let.
And got them to that weakened state, yeah, to do that. Mm-hmm. Couldn't take them.
Well, that was smart, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, Nephilim are typically very strong and pretty large. They would have been hard to take down.
And I mean, it says, you know, that was just this ploy that, you know, Satan used to eliminate one woman from an opportunity,
yep,
to continue the bloodline. If he could get her, you know, married and have, yep, children with that
tainted.
Canaan, you know,
tainted.
Yeah, tainted, yep, blood. Yep, sure enough. The sons, and then when that kid's dad, you know, offered to pay, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. I put, you know, money always seems to be used to fix everything. Mm-hmm. You know, it's always somebody always thinks that's going to fix it all. And it didn't. I mean, they evened things up there.
Yeah, that was a kind of a,
yeah,
massacre.
Yeah. And again, it was about just about keeping the bloodline pure. I mean, no matter what. Then it talks in about, you know, Reuben was in line for everything. I mean, he was the oldest of Leah. You know, and then he goes to bed with one of Jacob's handmaidens. So that kicks him out. That's when it falls, you know, then it goes to Joseph. It's always about, I mean, it's just so every time you turn around, there's something that's trying to pull somebody away from something.
He says it really cool. He says, Reuben forfeited his birthright by doing this.
Yeah.
But it goes back to Esau forfeited his birthright by giving up so easily with the porridge. I mean, I don't know this Reuben, anything about him, but I'm sure he was handsome enough and rich enough. He could have had any girl he wanted. I'm sure he could have. And so what does he do, though? He goes against God's law, and he does this. This is God's law. It's like sleeping with your stepmother. I mean, that's kind of what it would be like, because he had brothers that shared that mother. Anyway, and I'm thinking that was, he just... It's that age-old, I will have my way, I don't care what you say. Just like Esau said to when he wanted that bowl of porridge. It was me, 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 I want it right now, I don't care what it costs. And it's that same old thing of disobedience.
Yeah. You know, and it says Jacob chose,
yes,
to have a concubine.
Yes.
Which would later lead to the downfall of Reuben. I mean... You know,
and she was probably a stunner.
Yeah.
A looker.
Yep. Set. You know, he set that. Set that up. So.
Same old story.
Yeah.
Believe the lies of the devil, get tricked into being disobedient.
Yeah.
And lose everything.
Yeah.
Lose your birthright.
Yeah.
Lose your place in the family.
Yeah. It's interesting too, though. Then it, somehow that got there, and then it falls to Joseph, which is from Rachel, which was really his choice.
His first love.
Yeah, which was really sure enough. Yeah.
Yeah, he loved her. Which is probably what it should have been only.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Had he waited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If Laban hadn't made him work, I had to work 14 years.
He was deceitful.
Yeah.
He was really a crook.
He got 14 years of work right there.
Yeah, that's pretty smart, really.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He'd be a used car salesman today.
Exactly.
There you go.
Be wealthy.
Yeah.
That mentions, and we've talked about it before too, that Esau, Edom, which is the Edomites, which they know their place, where
they
it's going to be in Revelation, what they're, I mean, and that's funny that, I mean, Esau gave it up and really hated everything about it, but yet the Edomites, they have got a very important job in Revelation.
The mercy of God, though, loved Esau. He loved him. He loved Esau. God did. And what his mercy is, he's going to let them do, have a shining moment.
Yeah.
He's going to redeem them is what he's going to do. And they know it.
Yeah, that's their job. Yeah, to protect.
Yeah.
Yep.
I love that. That's going back to second chances and third chances and 15 chances, you know.
Yeah.
That's the God of mercy.
Yeah.
I love that story.
Yeah. I mean, it says Esau had... said he's no respect for God, never repented, and had no interest in preserving the messianic bloodline, yet God still had mercy on him.
Yeah.
The firstborn, favorite son of faithful Isaac, and he received a secondary blessing after Jacob's deception.
Yeah.
You know, he got wealth, and he moved into that land. I mean, God took care of the Nephilim that were in there, and then gave that land to him. So, So, sure enough.
God loved him.
Yep.
It goes to show God loves all of us, even the unlovelies. And if we'll just turn to him, even as unlovely and awful as we've been, I think that's a redemption story.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there it says God honors his faithful servants.
He does.
Yeah. It says, you know, even Esau, you know, the faithful believer Isaac. And
Petra.
Petra, right.
It's going to be a great story.
Yeah. Then we talk a little bit about Joseph. With his coat of many colors. I mean, I'm sure at 17 and having older brothers, and then when I think he probably knew that he was a pick of the litter, if you will. And he had that coat of many colors, which, and then he had that been gifted by God to interpret dreams, and then was sharing all that he had, really. And I don't, I wondered, in my mind, I wondered if the brothers came from the maidservants, and if Joseph came, where Joseph came from Rachel. If there was already some animosity,
sure there was,
between those, that
those women knew
that group,
that Rachel was the favorite. Leah knew it, the handmaids knew it.
Yeah.
Rachel was the love of his life.
But I think those boys, the son, the older brothers would have known.
They knew that.
You know,
their mother's not as loved.
That's, you know, that you know, our mother was second class, and now we're second class, and all they talk about is this snot-nosed kid, and he's got that coat of many colors, and so I think part of that all just kind of lined up, you know.
The devil used it.
Yeah, and played in into that. But I think there was some, in my mind, I think there was some animosity that was already an underlying factor there. And it says that, you know, Joseph, because it says, you know, in his old age is when, I thought about Abraham and Sarah too, you know, because they was later in life when he had it, because I mean, I think they had trouble, you know, getting pregnant. So that just made him even more special to Jake, you know. Jealousy and envy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They, you know, it talks about the coat of many colors, is a representation of Christ, you know, and what is.
Well, it points to what's going to happen on the cross when they take his.
Yeah. You know, and they take it off. Yeah.
It off and they portion it and they gamble for it, really.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's pointing to that.
Yeah.
And it will be many colors. It will be bloodstained.
Yeah.
It will be dirty.
Yeah.
You know, it will be, I hate to say this, it'll have snot on it. It'll have body fluids on it.
Yeah.
That's what it's going to become.
Yeah. Well, this brings part of the story brings Reuben back into it too, because he's already known he's lost it. And I think in his mind, he's content with the fact that I messed up and I lost it. And Joseph can going to have
that's
it. But,
fair. And that's
yes,
fair.
But they can't, if they kill him, they're all subject to being killed then because of the law that's there.
That's right.
And I think somewhat too that he thought, if I've kind of got on the blacklist with Dad, if I can bring his favorite son home,
then I'm back.
Then I can maybe I'll get back in good graces.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what he was thinking, but that's somewhat what I thought about a little bit when he talked about.
Because he's the one that steps up.
Yeah, and said you throw him, you know, and they threw him in the hole. Said there wasn't no water in it. They made a point to say that, which I think that probably tells you he'd have died if he'd have stayed in there.
Right.
But I always wondered if, in the back of Reuben's mind, if he's not thinking, if I can bring the favorite son home, you know, then things might be better for me at home.
Well, and they would have been.
Yeah.
I mean, that's easy to believe that.
Yeah. I got a whole bunch of. That story. That's the more of that just goes on in the rest of that story. It talks more about the coat of many colors. It talks more about Reuben and what that, you know, whatever, all that that's symbolized. Then we get into where Joseph, when he gets taken, then the next part it comes into where Potiphar's wife. You know, tries to seduce him, and you know, it mentions in there that Satan didn't anticipate Joseph's faithfulness to God. All that same temptation had worked in a lot of places in the past.
Most of them.
You know, for what he had tried to do, and so it didn't work here, and so he had to. Go to another one, and then two, it lines up too, where it talks about comparing, you know, where the Joseph is, you know, a picture of Christ, convicted, imprisoned about a crime that he didn't commit.
And Jesus was tempted.
Yeah.
By Satan. So this is a temptation again.
And then, you know, and then convicted. And so, I mean, it, you know, it kind of lines that up.
Yeah. Very similar. It's a remiss.
Yep. Yep.
That type of thing.
Yep. So, you know, a crime he didn't commit, and then talks about Christ as knew no sin.
Don't you wonder that most of these stories are deeper with a type? I mean, most of them are pointing to Jesus.
Uh-huh.
And they're a type of story of him. Probably all of them are, really.
Yeah, I mean, start about the story from where it started and where he is trying to, that's, you know, about protecting the bloodline, where he's trying to get to his will be done, if the whole thing.
It all points to him.
Yep. You know, of course, we all know the stories of Joseph, how he interpreted the dream and then got moved up. And, you know, the second highest rank. You know, when he told Potiphar's wife, you know, he said, I'm second in command. I'm in charge of everybody. You know, and he didn't say, he said, why would I give all that up and, you know, basically and go against my God. It wasn't about, you know, why would I give all that up and make your husband mad? Why would I get all that up and do this? It was why would I take everything that God's given me and throw it in the trash?
Yeah, dishonor. Yeah,
and dishonor God. next we get into Judah.
That's an interesting story.
Yeah. His story kind of picks up after what they did to Joseph. And I found it said he went down from his brother. And it's always a direction down. That's usually not a good direction to go.
Is
down.
Egypt, which is always a part of the world.
Yep. You know, and there he sees a daughter of a Canaanite. No. Yeah. And then we get to the sons, the Ur, and the another son, the second has three sons. But then Judah.
All have Nephilim blood.
Yeah, all have Nephilim.
And
then Judah takes a Israelite woman for the oldest one.
For the Nephilim part son.
Yeah, for the oldest one. And so that's when God killed him. So that's a little paraphrasing here. And so then the second one, by law, is supposed to go in and take.
Pregnant.
That's right. So but he don't do that. So God killed him. So again, you know, Judah's thinking, I then lost two to this woman. So you go home, and when this youngest one gets old enough, you can marry him. And I think he had second thoughts. He thought, I ain't going to let her have him. She's already had two, and they both gone. So so then we come into the story of where it's really her right.
And somewhere in there, his Nephilim wife dies.
Right before, that's when he goes to shear sheep after his wife dies.
Yeah, he's lost his two sons, and then his wife dies, right?
Yep.
Is that the story?
Yep.
And he's still got the younger son alive.
He's still got him alive, and she has went home to live with her folks.
Yeah. Because
to stay till the youngest one's old enough to go marry with him. Yep. So that's when his wife dies.
Yeah, his wife dies.
So then that, I think it's a Nephilim buddy of his, says, hey, we're going to go shear sheep.
Girls.
Yeah. So when they went to shear sheep, well, she hears about it, so she takes off her widow clothes and puts on clothes to be a harlot,
and
he comes by. And here he comes along, and she says, hey, big boy. And he says, what's it going to cost me? And she says, what are you going to give me? And he said, I'll give you some goats. She said, what are you going to give me as a down payment? He gave you a signet,
a tassel,
a shawl of some kind, and a staff. Mm-hmm. And I'll keep those.
Kind of like saying, you hold my driver's license.
Yeah, a down payment.
Yeah,
like a layaway plan.
Yeah.
So he does that. He doesn't recognize her, which I don't understand that. That's his daughter-in-law.
But it may be a veil.
Might be. I don't know. But anyway. So anyway, she gets pregnant. So then he goes on, does whatever, you know. They take the goats back. They said, there ain't no harlot there and ain't never been. Them guys said, there ain't never been one there. They said, all right, let's go on, you know. So then they come to him and they say, she's pregnant. 3 months later, I think it said, she's pregnant. Burn her alive.
Oh, yeah.
Said, let's bring her, you bring her, and we'll burn her alive. Basically for the same thing he's done. Had a child out of wedlock. So she brings all that stuff that he had given her, said, this child belongs to the owner of this stuff. Well, he goes, well, everybody's going to know now. Mm-hmm. So, yeah,
and
there you go.
And the bloodline.
There you go. And there are the bloodlines.
She's
so then.
Israelite, and so is he.
Huh?
She's Israelite.
Yep, and so is she. So that bloodline's pure.
And so with her, there's no Nephilim blood in her.
Not a bit. And so that's where the Messianic bloodline carries on.
Jesus comes from.
That's right, from that part right there. That is exactly right. Yeah. So that's where he comes from.
That's where he comes from, that bloodline.
Yeah.
That's, I love that.
Yeah, that's where.
Well, I had to kill several Nephilim ones in that.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
those two older boys for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, and the younger one never did get married.
And that Nephilim wife of Judas, he'd take her out too.
Did too, yeah. And scared that third one into staying single. I'm done with women. I am not getting married.
That would scare me too.
I'm telling you. Yeah, I've seen what happens.
I'm smart here.
Yeah, not going to be. Yeah,
I'm not happening.
Yeah, you stay away from me. Yeah. Yeah.
But see, you don't understand that story unless you know the bloodline.
Yeah.
And so, I never really understood that story before because it doesn't make any sense. Why are all these boys dying? Because they're Nephilim.
Yeah.
And it's Judah's line.
Yeah, and really the second one, he was killed because he did not obey the law.
Right.
So that's why he was killed.
He'd been killed anyway.
Oh, yeah, but that's why. But that was the part there, yeah. So then and then go on with the story, and she's pregnant with twins. And so then we've got a birth, and the first one sticks its hand out, so the midwife puts a scarlet ribbon on it, then it pulls its hand back, then the other one's born. And then the one with the scarlet ribbon that's supposed to be the birthright, then it comes out second. And actually, it's the one that was born first that actually was the second one is the one that falls in line when it gives the genealogy of Judah to go right on down. So that's where the bloodline continues, right on down.
And they're genetic for sure.
Yep, genetically pure. See, and I wrote all that stuff for that little short story right in that book. So there you go.
Yeah.
So, and that's the way it goes.
I marked mine all.
Oh, yeah. I got so much yellow paint and stuff on here. So, yeah,
whatever
there
works.
You go.
Whatever works.
So in this chapter, we have seen a lot of deceit, a lot of lying. But in the end,
the bloodline
stayed pure.
And we get a Messiah.
And God's will was done. So I guess, and the ends justifies the means. So Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for this chapter. I thank you that it's so interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I thank you that it makes you want to just learn more and more and more and more. We thank you, Lord, for the season that we're coming into, the season of Thanksgiving. And we are so grateful for all that we have, especially for your Son and our Savior. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.